I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Is that true?
Amen.
Amen. We're here today because we are a family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are here today because God has demonstrated His love for each one of us. We are looking in Ephesians chapter 5 at the exhortations for holy living. The entire chapter. An exhortation, just by way of review, an exhortation is a strong word of encouragement. It's close to a command. It's not exactly a command. It's like strong advice. Good godly advice. If you read down through Ephesians chapter 5, you'll see that every one of these verses, all 33 verses, have words of advice, words of wisdom. How do we walk as a Christian? How do we live a godly life? It's all about our walk. We're to walk in love. That's today's title. That's today's message. Walk in love. Verse 2, plain and simple, Paul says, "Be ye followers of God and walk in love, just as Christ did, just as Christ loved us, and He has given Himself for us." Walk in love. The walk of a believer is a key idea. It's a key matter in the book of Ephesians. Look at a couple of verses with me as we get started here. Go back to chapter 4, verse 1. We really hammered at this principle when we were going through Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye," what? "Walk worthy." Walk worthy of the calling or the vocation wherewith you have been called, wherewith ye are called. Paul introduced the fact that our walk is to be a worthy walk, that we're walking worthy. And then go down to chapter 4, verse 17, the believer's walk is to be different from the world's. Chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles." Other Gentiles means Gentiles who are outside of the family of God. Gentiles who are not saved by faith. They have not been born again. They have not been quickened. They are still ungodly, worldly, lost sinners. Don't walk like them. Don't act like the world. Walk as believers. Walk as Christians, not as unsaved Gentiles. And then if you go to, we're going to come back to chapter 5, verse 2, but go down to chapter 5, verse 8, we're to walk as children of light. Verse 8 of chapter 5, "For ye were sometimes darkness." You know, before you were saved, at one time, you lived and walked in darkness. There was no light in you. You were unsaved. But, he says, "Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." You have become light. God has shined in our hearts, and He has placed His light in us, the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we are to walk as children of light, children who possess light. Then go down to chapter 5 and verse 15. Again, talking about our walk. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." That word circumspectly, we'll get there in our study. It means being very wise and being very cautious, looking all around. Circumspect has the idea of looking around, going full circle, making sure that our walk is holy, making sure that there is nothing in our lives that would be offensive to God. Walk circumspectly. Walk in wisdom. In going back to chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, our walk is to be characterized by love. Walk in love. That's the key thought today. Walk in love. In order to walk in love, we need to grow in love. We need to mature. We need to become loving as God is loving. It might sound easy, but oh, we know it's not, right? We know there are obstacles. We know there are hindrances. We know that Satan will fight us tooth and nail because he does not want us to love one another. And he especially does not want us to love God. So we need to grow up. We need to grow in love. That needs to be a continuing thing going on in every believer's life. Why? Well, because that's what God wants. Love fulfills the law of God. We learned that way back when we studied Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Listen, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended or summed up in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. What are we to owe each other? A debt of love. We are indebted to love one another as God has loved us. Walking in love, what does that look like? What does it look like to walk in love? Love is imitating God because God is love. Isn't that simple? Love is imitating God because God is love. Well, how do I imitate God? Well, you need to get to know God through studying your Bible. You see the word therefore in verse 1? Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Therefore connects this passage of Scripture with the previous passage of Scripture, especially verse 32, which we just looked at a couple of weeks ago. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Walking in love is imitating what God does. Followers, the word followers, and we've talked about this before, comes from that Greek word mimetes, from which we get the English word mimic. Now, a mimic is someone who copies or imitates the characteristics of another person. And to be a mimic or a follower, an imitator of God, is to copy his characteristics. Number one, God is love. God is tender-hearted. God is kind. God is forgiving. God is merciful. God is compassionate. We could go on and on. All the attributes, all the characteristics of God that we find in the Scriptures, we are to mimic them. We are to imitate them because we are His children. That's what children do, right? They learn, they grow up and mature and learn by imitating adults, especially their children and their own family. They become more like us than we would care for them to become like us in many cases. But truth be known, our children are a lot like us. They look like us. They talk like us. They have many of our own same characteristics. They act like us. As imitators of God, logical, right? Christians are to imitate God's characteristics, above all His love. And the essence of Christianity is the reproduction of godliness. To be like God is to be godly. The godliness is seen in the person of Jesus Christ. What's God's purpose for us? What is God's purpose and plan for your life? He tells us that, doesn't he? Romans 8:29. We have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. To be conformed to the image of the Son of Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is to be made to look like Him, to act like Him, to behave like Him. Peter tells it this way. He says in 1 Peter 1:14 through 16, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Are we going to be exactly like God in this lifetime? No, but the hope of every believer is that eventually we will be exactly like Jesus Christ. We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's a promise of God in 1 John 3:2. Imitating God's love is possible. You say, oh, it's not possible to be like God. It's not possible to live a holy life. I've tried and I've failed many times. Does that mean that we just give up and quit trying? Does that mean that we just throw it all to the wind and say, oh, well, it's not possible, so I might as well just go on doing whatever it is my old flesh wants to do anyway? No, it is possible for us to become more and more and more like God as we grow up, as we mature. It is possible. Why? Because, Paul tells us, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Bill, you were talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning in Sunday school. He is an essential player in this role, this job of becoming more like Jesus Christ by the help of God's Spirit, by the grace of God giving us the Spirit living in us. Because he has been shed abroad. I like that phrase. Shed abroad is like it's the Old Testament picture of a sower sowing seed. He's got a bag full of seed and he's just broadcasting it all over the place, all around. The Holy Spirit is broadcasting the love of God in our hearts, just all over. We're just getting peppered with the love of God by the Holy Spirit inside of us. And because of that, it's possible to imitate God's love. It's possible to mimic God's holiness and his characteristics. It's possible to live up to the name by God's grace and with his help, not in our own strength, but to be able to bear the name Christ. We call ourselves Christians, Christ-like ones. During the days of Alexander the Great, there were a lot of boys named Alexander. That was one of the most common names for a boy. And so in his army, Alexander the Great had a great deal of Alexanders serving under him. And Alexander the Great used to tell his soldiers, he says, if you are going to be a coward in my army, then renounce your name. Don't bear the name Alexander if you're not going to bravely stand for that name. Those who carry God's name, that's you and I, dear friends, we are to be imitators of his character. And by grace and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it is possible. I'm not telling you anything new today, am I? You say, I know all these things. Yes. Do we always practice them? We need a little exhortation, a little strong advice, a little strong words of encouragement occasionally, like Paul gave the Ephesians in this letter. Be ye therefore followers of God, dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God. A sacrifice, yeah, a sacrifice. What did Paul say? He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But imitating, as I have already alluded to and mentioned, imitating God requires something of us. It requires a consistent study of God's Word. You need to find out. You need to read the Scriptures. You need to meditate on God's Word. You need to hide it in your heart. You need to study God's Word to find out what His character really is like. How does God respond in given situations? How does He treat people? How does He view people? Imitating God requires a consistent study of God's Word. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Now it's true. It's true that the more we learn of God's character, the more we're going to find out He really is so far above us. He is really so much more holy than I am. He's so much more perfect. He's so much more sinless. How could I ever even begin to come close? Is it even possible to imitate God? Is it even possible for others to see Christ in me? The more we learn Him, the more we learn how far above us He is, and we'll soon realize it is absolutely impossible in and of ourselves to fulfill the command to be like Him, to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. It's impossible to be absolutely perfect as He is. And again, folks, that's why we desperately need to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We need God Himself doing it. We need God, since we can't live like Him and be like Him, we need to have Him come and live in us and be God through us and be God for us and God in us. And the Holy Spirit will strengthen us in the inner man so that we might know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. We studied that back in chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. The only way we can become imitators of God is for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself to live His perfect life in us. And that's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. We are totally dependent upon His Holy Spirit to become like Him. And if we are to obey Paul's instruction, let all things be done with love, 1 Corinthians 16:14, we have to submit to the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit. The controlling influence of the Holy Spirit. We have to, first of all, become children of God. Now, it's natural. We're talking about imitating our Heavenly Father, just as children imitate their parents. It's natural for children to be like their parents, as we said, to look like us, to look like their parents, to talk like their parents, to have their parents' nature. They instinctively imitate their parents' action and behaviors because they are children. And that's what children do. But dear friends, I don't need to remind you today that you are also children of God. Amen? Through Jesus, God has given us the right to become children of God. John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Galatians 3:26, and ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Everyone who's part of the family of God, everyone who's been saved, everyone who's born again, you are a child of God. Start acting like your Father. If you're not already, I hope you are. But if you're not completely acting like Him, ask the Holy Spirit to make you more like Dad. And I say that respectfully. The Bible says that we call Him Abba, Father, Daddy, because of our relationship with Him. And so because our Heavenly Father is holy, we are to be holy. Because He is kind, we are to be kind. Because He is forgiving, we are to be forgiving. Because God in Christ humbled Himself, we are to humble ourselves before Him. And because God is love, as His beloved children, we are to walk in love. That's what today's lesson is about. Walk in love. Each step you take, step by step, day by day, make sure that your actions are demonstrating the love of God. How do I do that? How do I demonstrate the love of God? I be patient with other people. I be kind. I be compassionate, tender, forgiving. I love them. I agape love, we've said this many times. I'm always looking out for that other person, always looking for ways to help them, to strengthen them, to build them up, to exhort, exhortation. That's what the book of Ephesians, much of that is about, exhortation, building them up in the body of Christ. And again, not to beat this to death, but to really emphasize the importance of it again, we can't do it in our own strength. It requires the supernatural grace of God. It requires that we acquire the new nature through new birth. We become, you know, our spirit becomes born again and we take on His nature. It requires the continuous power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. It requires obedience to God's Word. God's Word is authoritative. It is the Word of God. And all of this, everything that I've said today, goes back again to the command in chapter 4, verse 30. We said that that verse was tied to all the verses, starting with chapter 4, verse 1, to the end of chapter 6. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve Him. Don't disappoint. Don't put the Holy Spirit to grief by being disobedient, by resisting His work in you, by being rebellious against Him. Don't do that. Don't do that. Work with Him. Work with Him. As can't think of his name right now, but the man who used to, he's with the Lord now, he used to have that show on radio talking about your finances, Christian financial concepts. He used to say, if you're having trouble with the IRS, run toward them. Don't run away from them. You know, cooperate with them. Work with them. Let's figure the problem out. The same is true of God. If you're having trouble in your relationship with God, don't run away from Him. Don't ignore it like, well, maybe the problem will go away or maybe God will forget about it. Run toward Him. Say, God, I need Your help. I need some guidance. I need direction. I need some encouragement. I need strength. He'll give you those things. He's your Father. He delights in giving His children good things. He wants to help you. The greatest evidence of love is undeserved forgiveness. Is there anyone here today? Please don't raise your hands. But is there anyone here today who you deserve salvation? God saved you because you were such a good-looking person, such a well-behaved individual. God just says, I've got to save that person. He's too good to let him die in his sins and go to hell. Not one of us deserves salvation. Not one of us deserve eternal life. Not one single one of us had anything about us that made us worthy that God would send His only begotten Son into this world to die for our sins. Not one of us. But that's the supreme act of love, isn't it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loved the world in such a way that He offered forgiveness to sinful, rebellious, wretched, vile mankind by sending His Son to give His life on the cross that we might not suffer death. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He offered the world the free gift of eternal fellowship with Him. Remember our Christmas message from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship is a wonderful word. A wonderful word. Koinonia. That relational working together, walking together, living together. Christ lives in you. He's there day and night. He doesn't close up and go home at 5 o'clock in the evening. When you're going through anxiety and restlessness in the middle of the night, He's there. He's there. He's having fellowship with you. He wants to strengthen you and encourage you and help you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This morning I was feeling washed out. You ever had that washed out feeling? Like, I just don't have anything to give. I just don't have any energy. I just don't feel well. I don't feel like I got any rest last night. And I walked in here and I said, Lord, I need your help. And right away, Isaiah 41:10 popped in my mind. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And God is doing that right now. He answers prayer. He's with you. He's your Father. He wants to help you. He wants to give you good things. God is good. And when God forgave me of my sins, wow, that was the supreme evidence of His love. That was proof of His love. And it's also going to be the most convincing proof of our love is when we do the same, when we love others, when we forgive others, when we are kind and compassionate. Love will always lead us to forgive others just as love led God to forgive us. A look again there at chapter 4, verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Only love has the motive and power to forgive. What another believer may do against us, Christ has paid the penalty for that sin as well. Peter thought that forgiving another person seven times was sufficient. But what did Jesus say? He says, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In Christ, all our sins are forgiven for His name's sake. 1 John 2:12. He has forgiven you all your trespasses. Colossians 2:13. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The riches of His grace. Did you ever stop and think about how rich God's grace is? Peter says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Love. For love shall cover the multitude of sins. Found out this week that word fervent carries the idea. It's actually a medical term from the first century Greek. Carries the idea of stretching a muscle being stretched to its limit. Can't stretch it anymore. Like a rubber band, you can stretch it out, but pretty soon it comes to its limit. Fervent has the idea of being stretched to its limit. We are to love one another even when we are stretched to the limit. That's a great idea. The greater our love, the greater the multitude of sins it will cover. And here's another, and we'll close with this, another important principle about God's love. The depth of our love, that is the ability that we have to love others, depends upon our ability, listen, depends upon our ability to know how much we have been forgiven. Do you know how much God forgave you when He saved you? Did you know that you needed forgiveness when you trusted in Him? When Jesus was eating with Simon, the Pharisee, a prostitute came in to the house and she fell at Jesus' feet and she anointed His feet with expensive perfume and wiped His feet with her hair. Simon, the Pharisee, he was extremely upset at what she did and he was disappointed in Jesus for allowing this woman, this sinful woman, to do such a thing, to touch Him. And Jesus responded to Simon by telling this parable. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owned 500 pence. Oh, excuse me, owed, not owned. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. You see, Simon had no real sense of the enormity of the sin in his own life, and therefore he didn't sense a need for forgiveness. Unforgiveness, Dr. John MacArthur says, can often be the result of self-righteousness. And forgiveness is the result of love. Our ability to love and therefore to forgive depends upon our sense of how much God has forgiven us. One good thing to meditate on as we spend this time with the Lord in January, I thought of that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. Do you remember when you were a wretch? But by God's grace, we still are. We're still sinners. But the Lord just spoke to my heart, and He said, one thing you need to really stop and think about is how much I loved you when I forgave you. How much you needed me. How lost you were. How deep in the miry clay. How unsavable you were by your own works and your own righteousness and your own effort. But I loved you. I loved you, and I sent my Son to die for you. You've heard it said before, and it's so true. If you or if I were the only sinner on earth, Christ still would have come and died for us. Father, we thank you for the exhortation to walk in love as Christ hath loved us. We realize that these exhortations are given to us to learn how to live holy lives. Lives that would be pleasing in your sight. So important when we realize that the coming of Jesus Christ is so soon, that before this day is over, we could be standing before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, search our hearts. Know our thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in us. Help us to consider how much you gave us, how much you did for us when you forgave us. And may we in gratitude bow before your holiness and say, Lord, here's my life. Take it and let it glorify you. Let it be used for you. May my every action represent and imitate you, O Father. And Father, I pray that if there is someone in our audience today, someone in the hearing of our voice today, who needs Jesus, who needs to be saved, that they would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We ask it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.